It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy, Luke Clayton. It's time for our weekly 15-minute outdoor show here on Public Radio, KETR. I want to tell you the first portion of our show is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. And I want to remind you that the website for the Dallas Safari Club is biggame.org. The convention this year is called Journeys, and it will be held the 3rd through the 6th of January of next year. So it's going to be a big time. And this show is also made possible by Head Country Foods, Head Country Barbecue Sauce, Head Country Championship Seasoning. You can go online and learn all about the Head Country products at headcountry.com. Now, our guest today is Mr. Paul Schotte. Paul is an expert taxidermist, among a lot of other things, but we want to talk about field care for game. If you have a, say you shoot a big buck or harvest a big boar that you want mounted, or a wood duck, Paul's going to tell us how to take care of it. Paul, thank you a lot for being with us, sir.
Hey, Luke, it's good to be here. It's my favorite time of the year. The leaves are changing, and it's just beautiful outside. So everybody needs to get outside and enjoy God's good creation, that's for sure.
You bet, Paul. This is my favorite time of the year, too. I love the spring. I love to get out turkey hunt and all in the springtime. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, it's coming. Those 100 and 105-degree days are just around the corner. But in the fall, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to get even cooler. Well, Paul, a lot of people, you know, now are harvesting big whitetail bucks, or bucks, we'll just say, that are big to them, that are important to them, that they want to have mounted. They're shooting, you know, duck season's about to be here. They're going to be finally harvesting a wood duck drake or a big mallard drake that they would like to have mounted. I'd like to pick your brain today. I know you're an expert taxidermist and you've been doing it a long time, but say you harvest a buck that you want to get mounted. And kind of walk us through the steps of the things that are necessary to ensure that you have a good mount.
Okay, Luke, I'd be glad to. I've done taxidermy work for 25 years and really enjoy it. And I especially enjoy the fact of having repeat customers and that my customers tell other people, take it over to Paul because he'll do you a good job. And so once you've harvested an animal, first of all, we can talk about a shoulder mount on a whitetail or an elk or a boar, things of that nature. You want to skin that animal from the back end down and just leave the whole hide, you know, as you like you peel off a sock. Just shuck that down, the carcass, and it'll drape over the head. And when you get down to the neck where it gets a little tough skinning, go ahead and skin it on down the neck, but leave about 4 inches of the neck meat on the back of the skull, back of the head, because that's an important measurement for your shoulder mount. There's two critical measurements. One is the nose to the eye, but the other one comes off the neck. And especially as we get into the rut and that neck starts to swell on a whitetail and everybody wants that full neck mount in that shoulder mount, you know, leave some neck meat in there. There's no need to leave 8 or 10 inches of it in there, but leave 3 or 4 inches, you know, behind the head for a measurement. And it's also very important just to leave the entire hide together. Roll it up, put it in the freezer, but let the taxidermist cut off what they don't need. Because, if you try to help the taxidermist out, cut it off too short, then it's too short. And what a lot of people don't realize is they like to lay that whitetail hide out, pull it away from the head, kind of stretch it, and then they cut it off behind the shoulder. And in reality, that all should have been relaxed forward toward the head, because that's the way it is on the carcass when the deer is alive. It's relaxed. It's not stretched. It's not pulled in any way. And a lot of times people will cut it off too short, and then I either have to alter the mannequin or we have to get a different cape because it's just too short. But you want to keep those, all the hair dry. You can put it in a trash bag, but you have to be careful of the temperature outside. And, you know, most trash bags are black, and it's going to attract heat, and it's going to start to sweat inside that bag. So you want to keep them as dry as possible. And if you don't have coolers at the camp house that you can put that head in, then you want to hang it in a tree in the shade so that the sun's not beating down on it, because, again, moisture and heat will create bacteria growth, and that's when the hair starts to slip or fall out of a cape. So you want to keep it dry. And then if you're going to transport it home in an ice chest, then you want to put it in a trash bag and keep it dry. You can pack ice around it, but keep that hair as dry as possible. And then when you get back home, if you can get it to the taxidermist right away, that's the best thing to do. If not, put it in the freezer until you can get it to the taxidermist, because, again, 3 or 4 days of not getting it to the taxidermist could be real critical, and you could lose your cape.
I'm with you. Folks, our guest is Mr. Paul Schotte. Paul is an expert taxidermist, among an expert outdoor cook and a lot of other things, but we're concentrating today on taxidermy field care for game, and we're going to touch on birds in just a little bit. Paul, I do have a question for you on the skinning, and I've got a couple of questions, but let's think about a whitetail buck that you want to prepare to have mounted. Now, when you start skinning at the hindquarters and skin down, when you get to the front legs, my question is it okay to make an incision down the back of the leg there to skin that leg out, or do you prefer just taking your time? And it can be done the other way, but it really is tedious, you know, to skin it without making an incision.
Yes, let's talk about field, you know, gutting that deer out in the field before you get it back to the camp house. When you gut that animal, you can go up the rib cage just a little bit. Some people like to stop behind that sternum and then reach way up in there and pull all those intestines and lung and all that out. But you can actually go a little further than that, but you don't want to get into the area of the middle of the legs. You want to stop there because that brisket hair is on a shoulder mount. So it will, you know, require you to work a little harder at gutting that animal. But then when you skin it, if you look on the back of the backside of the legs, like you were talking about, there's the brown hair and the white hair make a line. Mm-hmm. And you can cut along that line. But then when you get to the chest cavity, it's very vital that you cut back toward that incision where you've gutted the animal, back toward the back legs. Don't come straight across that brisket hair.
Yes.
If you come straight across, you're cutting part of the hair off that will be on that mount. So you want to angle your cut toward the back. Again, you be careful of how you cut that skin, because if it's all there and you did make the wrong cut, but you take all the entire hide to the taxidermist, he's going to have a little sewing to do, but at least he has it there to work with. If you cut it off and leave that part of it out in the field or, you know, wherever you field dress your game, then he's not going to have it to work with. So you can cut down the back of the leg so it's easier, because if you try to pull that leg, especially after rigor mortis is set in, you try to pull that out of that skin without splitting it, it's really hard.
It is. Paul, that answers my question, and I've done that before, exactly like you are talking about. We're really getting into some nuts and bolts stuff for hardcore hunters today, folks, but this is stuff that if you're a hunter, you do need to know, because sooner or later, you're going to harvest an animal that you want to have mounted. It's going to happen. But what you're saying, Paul, is just the back of the leg, that crease or the hair color change, just run right up to that. And then when you get back up to the body of the animal, cut back toward the back end, toward the back of the animal, and then that saves all that undisturbed for a shoulder mount. Now,
that's right.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's another question that's a real-world question. It happens. A big boar, I mean a big one. Now, I love to eat wild pork, but most big boar, and by big ones, I'm talking about if he weighs 250 pounds or more, chances are really, really good he's not going to be the best of eating. Now, say you want to just remove the say you're not going to eat the hog. Say it's a big, rank boar that nobody can eat, and that happens. And a lot of those big ones are like that. So can you do this, Paul? Can you say from the back of the back of the shoulder, go back another 6 or 8 inches maybe, cut around that boar, you know, cut around the hide all the way around him. If you leave from the back of the shoulder, if you leave 8 inches more, and then skin from there up toward the head, is that acceptable?
That would be, I would say, kind of close or borderline, mm-hmm. but you want to find the back of that shoulder mm-hmm. and go back, you know, like you're saying, 8 or 10 inches, and you can cut a ring around. You'll have that big shield in there, too, you know, uh-huh. but go ahead and cut through that and then peel it down toward the head. And when you get to, you know, hogs being fattier around the neck and stuff, they're going to skin a little easier than a whitetail.
Uh-huh.
But go ahead and peel that down. And, again, leave several inches, three inches of neck meat in there so that a measurement can be taken off of that carcass.
I got you. And just leave plenty. The whole trick, I know this, is to leave plenty of hide to work with from the back of the front shoulder back, and I said 8 to 10, a foot, you know, skin, give the taxidermist plenty to work with, right?
Yes, and the one thing to be aware of, if you're skinning or if you're cutting that hide when the animal is hanging in the, you know, from the gambles, you know, mm-hmm. up in the air,
yep.
that's going to be stretched. That, you know, mm-hmm. the skin is going to be taut, and that's not a natural thing as they're walking around. It's all relaxed and in the right place. So, again, you just have to be aware of where you're cutting. Most people have seen what a shoulder mount looks like on the wall, so visualize where that skin is, because what the taxidermist does is he pulls about 2 inches of it around the back of the mannequin to staple to the back of the board that's on that foam mannequin, you know, so that it stays in place. So that's not just what you see on the shoulder mount, but there's a couple more inches back that's folded behind and stapled to the back of the mannequin. So, you know, if you do what you said, though, 8 or 10 inches behind the shoulder, you'll be fine.
Good. That's a very good tip, Paul. You know, I would like to get you back again. It really did. It took our show today to really get into the nuts and bolts of getting a whitetail buck or a mammal ready for a taxidermy. It took all of our time, and I wanted you to have the time to really go through it step by step. But I'd like to get you back again in the not-too-distant future, Paul, and talk about birds. You know,
sure.
Like wood duck drakes, that's an awesome mount, and a lot of people hunt a long time before they get one, you know, or pheasant, a rooster pheasant. Get you to talk about care next time for birds. How about that?
That would be perfect, and that's how I actually got my start in taxidermy, was mounting birds first. And so I'd love to talk to people about those, and the one thing I'll leave people with, regardless of what kind of animal it is that the taxidermist can only work with what they're brought. So bring in a good specimen, take the taxidermist as much as you can, and then you'll get back, you know, that quality mount that you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. I'd like you to stay with me, and I want to talk to you off air just a bit, but we really do appreciate you spending the time with us.
No problem. And enjoyed it, and everybody have a good hunting season.
Thank you, Paul. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. You can go online to biggame.org and learn all about the Dallas Safari Club. The convention this year is January the 3rd through the 6th, and also made possible by Head Country Foods. That website is headcountry.com. They're the maker of Head Country Barbecue Sauce and Head Country All-Purpose Seasoning.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.